Luke chapter 24 this morning. This is part two from last year's message. Luke 24, verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" And so this is my question today, is why do we seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, "The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again." And they remembered his words. So often the Lord has to remind us of what he said before we will remember what he said. They had very quickly forgotten in the whole tragedy that seemed to be unfolding before them. They lost sight of the things that Jesus had said to them. And sometimes that's the way it is in our lives. You know, all we can seem to see is our present situation, our present problems. And if you focus on your problems will multiply. You don't focus on it. You see what it is, but then you turn to the solution, and that is the Lord. Amen? He has always got an answer, a solution, a way. He gives us a way to navigate sometimes through a situation. Sometimes he will remove the stones from your path. Other times he will show you how to navigate around the stones in your path. Either way, if you acknowledge him in all your ways, he's going to make your path straight. Amen? He's going to make a way for you. Now, if you go to Jerusalem, to the ancient city of Jerusalem, you will notice that there are almost no graves within the city limits. And the reason for that is because they will never bury their dead within the city. Amen? Because they are not to be people that represent or have anything to do with death, but they are to be people of the light. They are to be people of life. And so even if a man were to touch a dead body, you know, he would be unceremonial, unclean under the law, and have to go through a purification rite. But Christ, who was our Passover lamb, he was the one that was offered up for us, was crucified, dead and buried, and he rose again on the third day. And so they had placed his body into a borrowed tomb. And you know as well as I do that he is alive. And the reason, the greatest witness of the resurrection is the fact that you and I are alive in Christ today. We have that witness within us that we are the children of God. That same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. And so we are not to dwell on, focus on, think on dead things, but we are to think on, focus on, dwell on life. We dwell on Christ. Amen. The Bible says that God will keep those in perfect peace whose minds are stayed upon the Lord, who are committed to Christ, who are focused on him. He will give you his peace. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter how hopeless it might seem. God is a God of the living. He is a God of the resurrection. Amen? And whenever you feel like you're being crucified, there's going to be a resurrection. Whenever a promise of God seems to die in your life, God is a God of resurrection. Amen? And when it comes back, when he reveals the promise to you, when the promise is manifested in your life, it's not going to look like you thought it was. When we try to patch our lives up, amen? Well, all you're doing is putting a new patch on an old garment, amen? But what God does is he transforms a person From the inside out, they become a new creation. Hallelujah. And a new creation that loves God, that wants to please God, wants to serve God, wants to follow Jesus. Amen? Wants to glorify His name. So God is a God of new beginnings. Old things pass away, all things become new. And so we are not to, as children of light, to focus any longer on dark things, on dead things. We are not to think on, speak on dead things. We are not to entertain dead things. We are not to watch dead stuff, listen to dead stuff. Amen? Speak dead things. We are to think on, speak on, dwell on life and speak life, because power of life and death is in your tongue. Amen? And when we speak, and in alignment with heaven, when we speak, there is a coming together of heaven and earth. Heaven comes down and glory is manifested, the glory of God. Hallelujah. And so we read in Mark chapter 5, if you turn there, a man known as the man of the tombs who dwelt among dead things. Chapter 5 of Mark, verse 1. Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broke in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and he worshipped him. He knew what to do in his humanity. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me." For he said to him, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit." You see, sometimes when people are speaking to you, it's not that person at all speaking. And the only way we can discern is by the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus looked beyond the man to the spirit. He says, "You come out of him, unclean spirit." And then he asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And also he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. And now a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, "Send us from to the swine that we may enter them." And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out of the man, entered the swine. There were about 2,000 spirits in this man. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. We need to remember, to think on, speak on, amen, life. Yes. Stay out of dead things. Step away from all appearance of evil. Do not play with fire or you'll be burned. Do not entertain it at all. Give no place to the devil. The devil only wants to mess you up. And so before we were born again, what did we do? I'm speaking from experience here that I was a man of the tombs. I hung out in dead places. I spoke dead things. I ingested dead things. My life revolved around death. And what I thought was life was actually death to me. Before our eyes are opened by Christ, the life that we live is actually a life that is in death. And people are looking for life in all the wrong places. People want to enjoy life. People are looking for pleasure. What people are looking for is heaven. We're looking for heaven, folks. God has put eternity in our hearts. God has put it in man to desire heaven, to desire good things, to desire life and health and blessings. God's put that in us. It's not a bad thing. It's not a wrong thing to desire heaven. Right. The problem is, if we don't know where to go, we will go to the wrong places and try to find it there. You cannot get life out of this, amen, out of living in death. You must come out of death and into life. If you try to live in life and still keep a part of you in death, how many know that a little bitter will poison the entire fountain, right? You take a little bit of salt and you put it in a glass of water, it's going to get salty. A little bit of poison can go a long ways. We must completely rid ourselves, come out of darkness. We must be transformed by the power of God. We must be born again. We must enter into, amen, this covenant in the blood of Jesus and be transformed by the Spirit of God. And we must now walk in the new identity that God has given us in Christ. Amen. And no longer have anything to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. If we have been born of His Spirit, we've been given a new identity in Christ, we must now live out of that identity. Amen? Amen? Has anybody beside myself discovered that you can't live both lives?
Yeah.
And if you try, you're only going to be miserable. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, John said, "Do not love the world, the cosmos." That means that system that is in rebellion to God. Do not love anything to do with this present world system that is in rebellion to God. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It's a test of one, whether one is truly a child of God. A true child of God does not love the world system. Amen? A true child of God loves Jesus. A true child of God has a heart for God. Why? Because the Bible says that God sends His Spirit into us, into our hearts. And what does the Spirit do? He cries out, "Papa, Father, Abba." We become a new creation that longs for Him, that desires His fellowship, that wants to be with God. We must be careful not to entertain death any longer. Because that's what the enemy is up to. He wants to rob from you. He wants to steal from you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to get you interested in things that on the outside may appear to be life, but underneath is death. Amen? And so you cannot and you will not find the living among the dead. Jesus, amen, came out of that tomb. He has overcome the grave. Amen? He's overcome death. He's overcome hell. He has the keys. Amen? And He's the one that can unlock the door of heaven. Hallelujah for you. He's the one that can unlock the door of your heart if you'll let Him. He wants to reveal Himself to you. He wants you to experience life and life more abundantly. How many have discovered that God is pleasurable? God is joyful. God is wonderful to be with. What the enemy wants to do is to try to convince us or convict us, amen, or convince us that the world has the answers to what we're looking for. He wants to dress it up just so that it looks so good. Sin, temptation is not something that looks ugly. It always looks good. It wouldn't be a temptation, right? So what he wants us to do is to shift away from life and to start partaking of death again. Because he wants to rob from you. He wants you to give him place. He wants you to open the door and just let him get his foot in. That's all he's asking for. Just let me get my foot in the door. Just a little compromise. You know what? You can be washed. You can be cleansed. And you can go right back into the hog pen. It's your choice. But you're not going to find life in death. Amen? You've got to come out of death if you want to walk in new life. If you want to know the pleasure of God, you want to know the blessing and the favor of God in your life, you've got to divorce death and you've got to embrace life. You embrace Jesus Christ. He is the life. Hallelujah. So we have a choice. We can choose to walk in death even as a believer. Peter says it like this in 2 Peter 2:22, a dog returning to its vomit, and a pig having been washed to her wallowing in the mire. Ephesians 5:8 says, but you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. What do we need to do next? It says, walk in the light. So it's not enough, amen, to have Jesus in your house. You can invite a guest into your home and never give them the time of day. You can completely ignore that guest. Come on. You can say, Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior. But Jesus came into your heart because He wants to have a relationship with you. Amen? He wants to have communion with you. He wants you to give Him place. Amen? And that place is the throne of your heart. Not seconds. Amen? Not leftovers. But the honored seat of your life belongs to your Lord. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord? Lord, and don't do what I say. There's going to be some disappointed people, folks, in judgment. Because even though they profess to be a Christian, they did not follow Jesus Christ. Do you know why they called, the early church called people Christians? Because they were Christ followers. They followed Jesus. And they were known by their fruits. The fruit of a life that was lived with Christ in relationship in the Spirit and with one another. Colossians 1:13 says, He, Christ, has delivered us from the power of darkness. That's already happened. Christ has already delivered us from the power of darkness. What is my part? To believe. What is my part? To cooperate with God. Why? I've already been delivered from the power of darkness. But if the enemy can entice you to get you to choose, are you with me today?
Oh, yeah.
To go back into the darkness. It's your choice. What has he done? He's translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. We have changed citizenships. Once we were children of the devil, now we are children of the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
Once we walked in darkness, now we walk in light. Once we walked in death, now we walk in light. We cannot compromise with our enemy. He doesn't like you. His goal is to distract you away from God's blessings in your life. God wants to bless His people. He's a good father. What father does not want to give good gifts to his kids?
Amen.
How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts? Amen. We'll give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. But he's a good father. He's a wise father. And he knows the sons and daughters. Amen. He knows what his kids are like. He knows the ones that are walking with him and those who are being wayward. You know, I remember Nell saying this one time, but it was very true. He said, God speaks to us, and then he speaks a little louder, and a little louder, and a little louder. How many know it's a wise thing to listen when he speaks to you the first time? Yeah. Because he's a good father, he loves us. Sometimes he has to take us out behind the shed. We've been called out of darkness, amen, into his marvelous light. Now, Heisuke and I are trying to live healthier lives now. Well, we're trying to eat as much as possible. It's expensive to do, but to eat organic and to eat good stuff, bring good stuff into our bodies, you know. And you know, your body likes it. When you're feeding it the right things, your body will say, hey, I like this stuff. Well, it may not taste good initially, but it's interesting that as you begin to discipline yourself to eat right, your tastes will change. And then after you've been eating vegetables and fruits for a while or whatever, you go back to eat a Big Mac, you're like, ugh. It tastes like, chalk or something. The most important part of us is our spirit. I mean, we take care of our bodies, yes, but the most important part of you is that invisible part of you. You need to take in healthy things, amen? You need to meditate on the Word of God. You need to be reading your Bible. You need to be studying. You need to be praying. You need to be seeking God's face, amen? You need to be drinking of the living water, Jesus Christ, amen? You need to be drinking the new wine instead of the old wine. You don't need to get drunk on the world. Get drunk on Jesus. You want to get high? Go to the Most High. When you fill up on the right things, hallelujah, your spirit, your life, your whole life will begin to demonstrate and manifest the fragrance of Christ. It's good. When you drink and eat of Christ, when you are a worshiper of Him, your life, amen, will reflect His glory, His image. We are to also have the image of Christ. And that's what we see. When we worship together, we see Jesus. You know, how good the fellowship was this morning. You know, hopefully it still is. But when we just got up and we greeted it, there's joy in the house. There's true love here. You know, we want to guard that. And you know how we guard that? By each individual. Each one of us. Amen? Knowing how to go to Jesus and drink and eat. Knowing how to be filled up in Him. Knowing how to walk right. Amen? Knowing how to forsake death and walk in life. And then when we come together as a body, and everybody's walking in that, amen, that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, you're walking in the Holy Ghost, then there is a manifestation of the fragrance in the life of Christ, and there's a corporate release, amen, of His presence and His power that is just a refreshing. I don't like being in places where people don't love Jesus. Amen? I'm telling you, folks, there are churches out there that may have a lot of people in them, but they don't love Jesus. And the reason I say they don't love Jesus is because they don't love His Word and because they don't obey Him. You can't say you know Jesus. You can't say you love Jesus and not obey Him, because His commandment is always to love. It's the way of love. What are people looking for? They're looking for love. They're looking for acceptance. We're wandering around before we knew the Lord. We wandered around in darkness, groping for answers, trying to figure out what's it all about. Trying to feed ourselves and fill up on all the junk that the world offers and saying, this isn't doing it for me. And hopefully, by the grace of God, you'll come to that place where you say, I am sick and tired of this stuff. It's a lie. I want life. I really want to know what love is. I want to know Him who is love. People are into junk movies, music, entertainment. You know? Folks, I'm not saying you can't go to a movie. I'm saying be careful, little eyes, what you see. Well, little ears, what you're hearing. What are you pumping into your brain? You know, you got Christian young people that are just pumping all this garbage stuff and this music into their brains, you know, with the message of death. We're seeing a culture now, amen, of death. Even children's line of clothing. Am I right, Billy?
Yep, that's right.
Skulls and death and black and dark, and it's celebration of death. The Bible says that those who love death hate God. Do we love Jesus? Then we love life. Do we love Jesus? Then we know that His commandment is life. Do we love Jesus? Then we walk in the light. If we walk in the light, then we have genuine, true fellowship among us, right? Because we're not bringing anything defiling into the situation. We have our hearts pure before God. You know what? It's the pure in heart that are going to see God. Not the self-righteous and say, God, look how good I am, but those who have had their garments washed in the blood of the Lamb. Those who have clean hearts are those who will see God. You cannot save yourself. You must surrender your life to Jesus Christ. Galatians 6 and 7 says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh or sin nature will of that nature reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit, Holy Spirit, reap everlasting life." You're not going to find the living among the dead. You must choose Jesus. Paul said to the believers, "If then you were raised with Christ," Colossians 3:1, "seek those things which are above." We no longer live in death. We no longer entertain death. We're not about death. We're about life. And if you're about life, you're about Jesus. Yes. If you love Jesus, you love life.
Amen.
If you're a worshiper of Jesus, amen, you're a worshiper of life. Our whole faith rests on the certainty that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, that He is alive forevermore, that He is at the right hand of the Father right now as our great high priest, as our intercessor. The Lord right now is waiting for the command from the Father to go and to get His children. We must be ready for the day of the Lord is coming. It's coming quickly. And there were many who refused to listen even in the days of Noah. And they were all lost in the flood. It says in Hebrews that they didn't know. They knew not until the day they entered into the ark, and then the flood came and took them all away. We're living in another time right now, folks, where the judgment of God is right here. I'm telling you. Amen. We see it already beginning on America. You want to know what's happening to America right now? It's the judgments of God. Why? Not because God is mean, but because we are reaping what we've been sowing. Because God gave mankind, He gave him authority to exercise on the earth. He put him here, amen, as ambassadors of heaven to represent him on the earth. And when the ambassadors on the earth begin to violate the laws of God, they begin to refuse to listen to the Spirit of God, it begins to defile the land. And when the land is defiled, it begins to rebel.
Yes.
And you have earthquakes and you have tornadoes and you have these things that are happening. It's time for America to wake up and return to the God of its fathers.
Amen.
It's time for God's people, the ones called by His name. That's you and I. To humble ourselves and pray and seek His face like never before. To call on Him. Turn from our wicked ways. The church has to turn from its wicked ways. We want to blame the world. It's the church. There's every kind of sin in the church. God is saying, repent. Do the first works. Do what you did at the first. You've fallen. Are you really walking with God? Do you really love Jesus?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 1. This is Paul declaring the gospel. This is the gospel. You want to know what the gospel is? In a nutshell, this is it right here. Chapter 15, verse 1. "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen by Cephas, and then by the 12, and that He was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep." That means they had died. "After that He was seen by James, and then by all the apostles. Then last of all He was seen by me, Paul the Apostle, also as by one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am." So some of you are saying, I've been trying. I've been working at it. As long as you're in the seat of Savior, you're going to miss it. There's only one Savior, only one Lord, only one God who's able not only to save you, but to keep you.
Yes.
What you need is His grace. How do we get His grace? We come to Him and we ask Him for grace. And when we come to Him asking for grace, we believe that He's a rewarder. Amen? Of those who diligently seek Him. We believe that what God has offered freely, we're going to receive when we come to Him. How does a man get born again? By believing the report that Jesus rose again on the third day. Amen? That He has sent His Spirit here to convince and convict the world of sin. That we become understanding that we are guilty before God. We have broken His laws. We've broken His rules. And therefore, we are condemned. And the only way that we can be saved is not by trying harder, but by surrendering our hearts to Jesus Christ. If you're not willing to surrender your life to Jesus Christ, you're going to remain in death. See, we've offered people a cheap grace gospel today. A cheap grace gospel means there's no repentance involved. Repentance means I have woke up, I have changed my mind, I'm turning to Jesus, I'm forsaking death, I'm going to walk in life. Man, when God got a hold of me in my bedroom, it's like, man, I tell you what, I was in the fire, I had one foot in the fire, and I was like calling on Jesus, Jesus help me, Jesus save me, God have mercy on my soul. And in a moment, I felt this peace of heaven just sweep through me from the top of my head. I'm telling you, it just went right through me. And years of just drugs and everything else, it was just like, whew, I was just free. Free. I was set free. And I had this peace, a peace that I was trying to find in all the wrong places. And I began to see very clearly in those moments as I laid on my bed, all the things that I had been pursuing in life was actually death. And I thought it was life. You won't find the living among the dead. You've got to forsake death. You've got to give your heart to Jesus. Do you hear me today? You've got to give your heart to Jesus. I'm not talking about giving Him your leftover, your spare change, your Sunday morning. You've got to give your life to Jesus Christ. You've got to become a follower of Jesus. Amen? Followers of Jesus are the ones who walk in new life. Followers of Jesus are the ones who experience His peace. And this is the part that I really like right here. Signs, wonders, and miracles are evidence that Christ is risen and has sent His Spirit. How many know that we're not here just to win a theological debate with people? We're not here to win an argument and hopefully they'll accept our Jesus because we out-argued them. We need to have something, folks, that's tangible, that's real. Are you with me?
Yes.
We're looking for something real here.
Yes.
Amen? I don't want religion. The people of Jesus' day had lots of religion and they were sick of it.
Yep.
When Jesus showed up, He was the real deal. He was the God from heaven. The ones that these teachers have been talking about who never knew Him. They had religion, but they didn't have a relationship with Him. Faith has substance. Faith has evidence. What is the evidence of your faith today? Are you a new creation? Have you been born again? Is there a witness of God's Spirit with your spirit that you're a child of God? That the grace of God has come to you? His Spirit will say, yes, you're mine. What else is there in your life? Is there evidence that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead? Are we bearing witness to that fact? Not only by the fruit of our life, because we're walking with Him now, but we also are to demonstrate, amen, the kingdom is at hand. God wants to show up. God wants to reveal Himself to unbelievers that He is the resurrection and the life. He wants to make himself known through miracles, signs, and wonders. Because when the miracle happens, when the person is set free, when the person is delivered, when the person is healed, the argument is over. Now, they can try to rationalize it and explain it away scientifically, but folks, we know the reality is that Jesus Christ is risen. Amen? He has sent His Holy Spirit here to bear witness that He is risen. The problem with the church today is it's been so powerless. Come on, the church in America has been so powerless. Isn't it true? How is it that Christian young people could even get into the occult world? Because they're in powerless situations most of the time. They're not seeing any reality. They're not seeing any fruit, any results. All they're seeing is hypocrisy. Come on. I ain't going to church because there's a bunch of hypocrites in there. What's the best place for a hypocrite to be?
Right here.
Amen. Has anybody been a hypocrite before beside me? Okay. We all stumble. It's not that our lives are characterized by hypocrisy, but everybody's done it at least once. Are you okay? Are you enjoying this?
Yes.
Okay, it's gotten a little weak, so I better get moving here. Moving right along. Mark 16 and verse 17 says, "These signs shall follow them," right? That believe. So, what are we talking about here? We're talking about the fact that Jesus is risen, and because of that, the same Spirit that raised Him from the dead, amen, should be dwelling in you. And if that is the case, if you are born of that Spirit, if that Holy Spirit is in you, then that Spirit will give life to your mortal bodies. And if you will yield to the Holy Spirit, He will use you in ways that are beyond what you can do. Imagine that. See, we want to be believers, but only to the point of what we can do naturally. Come on, isn't it true? It's safe to be in a place where I can make it happen, where it's all predictable. I can tell you what's going to happen Sunday morning. We're going to have our three songs, our offering, our message, and our hymn, and we go out the door. Shake the pastor's hand on the way out. No. We should not ever come with a preconceived idea or a presumption as to what God is going to do. What we need to do is we need to come with expectancy.
Amen.
And I think we do. This group here comes with expectancy. We're believing that when we come together, because God is a supernatural God, because Jesus is alive, amen, that same Spirit is here. And He wants to do a wonder and a miracle. Why? To bear witness to the truth that He is alive. With great signs, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection. 2 Corinthians 5:15 says, "And He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again." So resurrection power is available, and it's imparted by Jesus, amen, the Savior. He's the baptizer with the Holy Spirit. Jesus is alive. Jesus is risen. He's here in His Spirit now. The kingdom of heaven is where? Among you right now. He invites you and I to come and dine at His table. He invites us to come and live forever. I don't know about you, but that's good news. That's what gospel means. Good news. God says, come along and live forever. Hallelujah. Get in the river of my presence. Get in the river with me, and we're going to go places. Amen? And we're going to see some awesome things happen. We're going to see His kingdom come, His will be done on the earth. We're going to see an invasion of heaven.
Amen.
We are seeing in a small scale an invasion of heaven even here today. But God wants us to reach nations, folks. He wants us to reach out. Amen? And to step out into the realm of faith. That's the power of God.
Yes.
Step out for Jesus. The just shall live by faith and not by what? Sight. Our Christianity, folks, true Christianity, is a walk of power. It's a life of power. It's not some weak-kneed, you know, limp wrist, right? powerless Bible study where we're constantly getting more and more information, but we're never learning how to live the information. We're not learning how to walk by faith and not by sight. When you have an encounter with God through the Word of the Lord, He wants to reveal Himself to you for what reason? So that you and I will demonstrate the reality of this kingdom. And it's not just for the guy in the pulpit. Amen? It's for His people. It's for you. It's for me. To make Him known. When we pray for the sick, especially unbelieving people, folks, they'll get healed a lot faster than some of the sanctified. Some of the frozen chosen, you know. Isn't it true? Sometimes, you know, it's harder for us to receive from the Lord than somebody who doesn't even know Him. But a lot of times it's not always a matter of faith, it's also a matter of God's design, God's purpose in the earth. Because sometimes, like Paul, you know, I don't know if Paul had any faith at all. I just know that God had a purpose for Paul. He says, "You're mine." Boom. Off. Down you go. You know, I'm calling you out. You're going to serve me now. Yeah. And you know what? When we go forth out of here today, you know, if you're in Christ, if you receive the Holy Spirit, then you have, hallelujah, access to the throne of grace. Yeah. God wants to release through you His power to demonstrate that Jesus Christ, amen, is alive. Folks, we don't have to have scientific proof. Some people, even if you show them scientifically, they still aren't going to believe. Why? It's a matter of the heart. And it's only by the Spirit of God that people can understand and know the truth. Aren't you glad that God has revealed His truth to us? It's not because of anything I've done. It's His grace. But we don't receive His grace in vain. If you've received grace, then go and run for Jesus. How many here would be honest, and don't be honest to me, but be honest to God, and say, from this day forward, I'm going to run for Jesus. I'm going to walk with Christ. I'm going to serve Jesus. I'm going to be a Christian, a follower of Jesus. I'm going to be a Jesus caller. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Have you made up your mind? Have you decided to follow Jesus? You see, the moment that the prodigal son who found himself in the hog pen of life, he woke up and he came to his senses and he says, "What am I doing here? My father's house, amen, is there's a party going on over there. Life is good there with my father. What am I doing in the hog pen?" When he came to himself, he realized his condition. It caused him to go back and return to the Father. Are you ready to return to the Father today? Hallelujah.